The human skull that was found in a Haines dirt pile is in the hands of the state medical examiner for inspection. And Haines school board candidates share their views on classroom technology and other topics. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The mystery over the identity of the human remains found last Monday in Haines continues. Employees at the American Bald Eagle Foundation found a skull in a pile of dirt delivered from 6.5 mile Haines Highway. The skull is now at the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage. It will be at least a week before the artifact is released for a proper burial and the site can be excavated to see if there are more bones. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has been following the story.
We don't know much about the large piece of skull uncovered last week, but answers are on the way. The state medical examiner's office decided late last week that photographs of the specimen weren't good enough, so the skull was mailed to Anchorage. And until more is known about the cause of death or how old the remnant is, excavation at the original site and the dirt pile where it was found is on hold. Archaeologist Anastasia Wiley visited the site up the highway, but she's waiting for approval from Anchorage before getting her hands dirty.
In a state this large, a lot of times photographs would suffice. They can look at it and see that it's not a modern homicide victim, for instance, making it a crime scene. But in this case, the skull had absorbed a lot of the minerals from the soil surrounding it, so it was very, very dark. You can see that it's a skull, but it's hard to see the detail that the medical examiner would want to look at.
Once the skull is determined to be of a certain age and the site where it was found is deemed not a crime scene, it will be returned to local tribal organizations for a traditional burial. Wiley says she deduced right away that it was a female because of the small size of the skull. But then again, it could have been a petite man.
Her brow ridges were rather extended, a little bit more massive, and that's normally a Native American trait.
Another telling factor was the fused skull plates, which is an indication of an older person. So, Wiley says, it's likely a middle-aged or older Native American woman. As for what century the person lived, Wiley thinks it could have been as far back to or before the 1500s. She says starting in the 16th century, there's evidence that the Tlingit people cremated their deceased.
What possibly could have been associated with this lady? I'm very anxious to screen the materials in the various areas and see what else is there.
The site is a gravel pit owned by Jack Smith Jr., with one small corner made up of sand from an old riverbed. That's where the skull was found. And just 200 yards or so up the highway is the site of an old Tlingit summer camp. Harriet Brulette is the tribal administrator for the Chilkoot Indian Association. She says with a village site just up the road, it would have made sense that people would have been buried close by.
My reaction was, actually my chest tightened, and my first reaction was, you know, are there more? Are there more people buried in that spot? It's a complicated issue because you're dealing with a private landowner who is trying to make a living, and you're also dealing with what may be our ancestor.
DNA testing and carbon dating are a possibility to find out more information, but those tests are expensive, and they settle curiosity more than provide any cultural significance, Brulette says.
We also need to be in contact and cooperating with Klukwan, because our people moved back and forth in the valley, so the person could be from Chilkoot or Chilkat, you know, being at 7 Mile.
She says Wiley's theory that the person lived before the 1500s is plausible, but she says even when Tlingit people practiced cremation, medicine men were never cremated, and it could have very well been a man. But the association has started referring to the deceased as Shuat, or woman.
I think it's important to know how to honor our ancestor and to make sure that what we're doing is an honorable thing. And is it more honorable just to rebury the fragment or not?
Brulette says another challenge is that they don't know what clan the person was affiliated with to give them the proper ceremony. Both Wiley and Brulette agreed that the feeling of cooperation between all involved in the discovery has been encouraging, but that locals should steer clear of the site, both for its cultural significance and because it's private property. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The three candidates running for Haines School Board this election season joined KHNS for an on-air forum. Mike Wilson, Sarah Chapel, and Inez Gross are running for three open seats on the board. Each candidate has a different level of school board experience. Inez Gross, who works for First National Bank, has never been on the school board before.
Last year, there were a couple positions that people were appointed to for the school board, and I had thought about running at that time, but I didn't. So this year, since there were three positions and only two people were going to run, I thought I would give it a try.
Tiffany DeWitt and Mike Wilson were the two people appointed to vacant seats last year. Wilson, who is a retired educator, is running to keep his seat. KHNS Development Director Sarah Chapel is finishing her first three-year term on the school board. Chapel and Wilson talked about areas in which they feel the district could improve. Here's Wilson.
I'm concerned that communication might be somewhat of a stumbling area, and I would hope that, again, the community and the teachers and administration can all come together and work together.
Chapel says two major challenges that are connected to each other are declining enrollment and budgetary restrictions.
We are definitely facing an uphill battle. And in keeping our district adequately funded and being able to support our students and our teachers in a way that that's adequate, it's going to be complicated. We are losing students. We're losing enrollment every year.
School districts in Alaska are funded based on a per student allocation, so fewer students means less money. Last year, a decision about whether to expand technology one-to-one in Haines School caused some controversy in the community. Administrators and teachers initially asked the school board to approve technology purchases, allowing each student to have their own laptop or iPad. Some parents didn't like the idea of more technology in the youngest grades. In the end, the board approved expanded technology so that fifth grade and up has one-to-one. Wilson says he would support K through 4 having one-to-one technology as well.
But that does not mean that any student in the lower grades, higher grades are going to be on using technology from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. What I think it means is they have access.
Chapel and Gross said right now they don't see the need for one-to-one in the youngest grades.
I'm not convinced that we need one-to-one for 100% of our students.
The lower grades, I don't know that they need one-to-one right now. My mind could be changed. I don't know.
It was last year's superintendent, Ginger Jewell, who helped lead the push for expanded technology. Jewell was with the district for a year before unexpectedly leaving. Now, the district has an interim superintendent while they search for a permanent replacement. Chapel was on the hiring committee for Jewell. She says, whenever you hire someone, you're taking a chance.
This year, we really wanted to step back and figure out how to do an even better job. And so we did make the kind of big decision to contract with the Alaska Association of School Boards to manage our hiring process for the superintendent.
The school board voted unanimously for that decision. The AASB consulting cost $7,000. All three candidates agree paying for the expert help is worth it. Here's Gross.
Having her help and then or her organization help is good, and also time is on our side. We don't have to rush into it.
The school board met with an AASB consultant Tuesday to talk about what qualities are most important for the next superintendent. Wilson says communication is essential.
First of all, this person should be a very good communicator and able to take ideas, to include groups, to make good decisions.
Chapel says she wants the superintendent to be accessible.
We really think of our school as a family, and we want to see our superintendent at the basketball games and track meets and walking the halls and, you know, developing personal relationships with our students.
The three candidates also answered questions about the potential agreement to house Chilkat Valley Preschool in Haines School and the district's relationship with homeschool families. You can hear the full school board candidate forum at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.